few things that I really care about in my life. My body, my pad, my ride, my family, amen. My church, my boys, my girls, and my podcast. Welcome everybody to the Polarized Podcast. Happy to have you here. You saw the title, you know what it's about. We're talking Don John today. I couldn't help myself. I had to intro the movie we introed the movie. This is Polarized Podcast. This is a podcast about polarizing movies, which this be one of them. That means sometimes audiences love and critics hate it, or vice versa.
This be one of them, yar.
This be one of them. You heard me, D. What is it? You best start believing in ghost stories because you're in one.
Better start believing in polarizing movies.
Movies because you're in one.
Ooh, scary.
Don John, baby. Let's go. This is 80% critics, 58 stinky on the audience side of things. We talk about polarizing movies here. Today we're talking about Don John. This is the 2013 directorial debut of JGL, starring himself, Scarlett Johansson, Julianne Moore, and Tony Danza. And I'll say Glenn Headley too. She's pretty great, the mother. And one of the very first performances of Brie Larson, who goes on to have somewhat of a career. Not somewhat of one. I'm great, you know, so far a great career. I mean, marred by some controversy.
Not just a Brie career, but a Gouda career.
Okay, so let's get into it. So it's not just, obviously, it's not just me talking. You hear that other voice in the that's chiming in, and rightfully so, because this movie is goofy, worth talking
about. It's my right. Get used to it.
It's your right. I'm the one who suggested this movie, and I'm really interested to talk to my co-host. We also refer to him as the forever guest. I'm going to intro now. Mr. James Lindsay, how's it going?
I'm a feature. I'm featuring on the episode, and I'm here again. Welcome back, everyone, to the Polarized Pod, and welcome to the Don Brandini Show, baby.
Yes, that is appropriately named, aptly named, the Don Brandini. I go by many names, and Don Brandini now is just put itself on the list.
You're just collecting them.
I'm collecting them. Yeah, I am. I also go by the Gray Brandini, the Breezy Brandini, I don't know, the man, the mystery, the Brandini, you know, those kind of things. But yeah, James, hey.
How's it going? Oh, I didn't see you there.
I didn't see you there.
I was trying to think of like other JGL directorial sophomoric efforts, because I don't know any after this one. What else
is because this also kind of torpedoes his career as well. So even though I feel like there's going to be some times in which I am to say, like, on this movie side, upon this I would say probably this is my fifth rewatch of this movie, because I used to show people this movie there have been many times where I'm like, oh, let's watch this movie because it's pretty easy breezy, all things considered, right, James? I mean,
it's a tight, at like bare 84. Minimum,
tight 84, like you're something kind like of that. In and out.
It was like, it says hour and a half, but that's including credits. I was like, oh, it's exactly hour and a half. Hell yeah. And I was like, oh, that's including like 6 minutes of credits.
Dude, totally, right?
Like 84.
It doesn't,
somehow, you know, it still feels long.
Okay. No, please. Yes. I mean, you have just
somehow it still took two settings for me. I couldn't finish the hour and a half movie in one setting.
Carte blanche, because you know, anybody who's listening to this episode, go listen to our Fountain episode where
isn't a revenge hate.
No, it's not a revenge hate at all. No. The reason I only bring that up is because I felt, you know, more often than not, like, we have somewhat of a diplomatic, like, back and forth about what movies to pick, but there are some movies that were like, I would like to do this one. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
That's the only thing I'm saying that really, let's be honest, lesbionic.
Don John would say that. You are Don Brandini.
I'm Don Brandini, yeah. But
I think with, like, polarizing movies, it was inevitable that we were going to get some movies that we were passionate one way or the other. Uh-huh, a lot of times we're in the middle, which is like
middle a lot of the time, a lot of like, time, like 80%.
Sometimes it feels like a cop out, but it's really just how I feel about a lot of things. It's like, oh, it's pretty good. They spent all this time and effort into making it. It's like, it's, sure. It's pretty good. And then for it to be like really great takes a lot more. And for it to be really bad takes a whole lot of something too. So for us to feel passionate one way or the other takes a lot. And then even then, I feel like it's likely that we're both holding hands on the negative or positive, but for us to be opposed are some special apps. I think they're fun, which I feel like we're already getting there a little bit. Cause this is my first time seeing it. I remember seeing the trailer at the time. And I do remember you telling me that you liked this movie, like when it came out and I should check it out, but I never got around to it.
Yeah.
And I'm totally trying to think if like my 23-year-old brain Might have liked it more.
Would have liked it more.
But yeah, also, like, I could see it being, forgettable as well, even at that time. Well, I don't know. But what was, so you wanted to, like, show people, do you have a couple, like, fun viewing memories of this movie? Because I remember we had, like, Jersey Shore parties, not to already bring it into the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, no, this is why.
That was a fun thing that we did on Jersey. We had Jersey Shore nights, and then we all brought red wine, like, box wine. And we got trashy and watched Jersey Shore, and that was a lot of fun in college.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's obviously the persona JGL is affecting here. Right? Uh-huh. Is this hyper-masculine, what he conceives as the wrong stereotype being propagated by popular media. It's just interesting because this is later than that, so it's something that was sticking around with him for quite a bit of time, but nonetheless, like,
it is a little later,
his character here is very much of that Jersey Shore type of persona, where this person is like their whole identity is wrapped up in things that are worth critiquing because they are in opposition to a more, like, if you were to be more critical of your life and go, what matters in life? It isn't these things that you own or the perception of yourself. It's how well you love. And he has an issue with loving because he is so, like, I need to be seen as cool. I need to be seen as fucking. I need to be seen as a good son, you know, a good boyfriend, whatever. And yeah, I think a lot of the, like, why we watched Jersey Shore was very ironically because we watched it, like, how it's like watching any reality television is people when given carte blanche to just go, you know, we want you to be as crazy as you can be. That's the type of persona that ends up shaping itself, is somebody that is all about their looks and has, and it's like very little depth. It's like all you're doing is drinking and you're fucking, like a cave person, essentially.
Yeah, that character is propped up that way, and he's definitely very concerned about image. And I think they get that first part across well as far as like who this guy is, and I feel like we can imagine, if not this guy, at least the stereotype of this guy, because it is very much that.
Very much so
to the point where Danza and him are wearing identical, like matching, like Italian American sort of fucking belts and boots, and you know, tuck it in, and
they take their shirts off at dinner. Is so funny to me because I love that. I think that's such a funny thing that families could potentially do. Because again, I don't know for certain, and I don't want to. Now, after seeing this for like at this point in my life, because there's been a long gap between the two, that's what also builds into the excitement that I have for this conversation. Yeah. Is that when it first came out, I was really, really about it, mainly from the way that it looks at pornography, which we'll get into. I think is really interesting, especially how ahead of the curve in my mind it is to the incel red pilling movement that is now prominent online. Is there's a lot of men who are anti-porn, then become anti-women, and then become really radicalized on certain ideas, because then they just start getting filtered into this, like, why doesn't anybody love me? Now this group loves me, and in order to be loved by this group, then I need to be this person.
That's where I feel like you're giving the movie a little too much credit in my mind, because that's where I wanted it to go, was more into that kind of stuff. Or in some other different way, because when I'm saying, like, earlier with that beginning of that sentence was like, you get that first part right of like who this guy is, but they don't have anything to really like say about it or say about him, as in my opinion, that much, like very little. And it comes kind of like right at the end, and the moment with Julianne Moore and him, not to jump too far ahead, is kind of the big change for him, because he is like you're saying, this guy who's like needs. If he doesn't have it all figured out, he at least has to portray that outwardly to the people around him, because that's what matters a lot, is his image and at least what people think of him, even if some of that stuff may not be true. As we find out that he actually does need other things than he lists in the movie. But I just think that the movie would have been much more interesting if it had a commentary on that, a little bit more of a commentary on that. And I think what you brought up right there would have been an excellent place to go, or even if you wanted to go into the more transformative route with him, or more humor, or I'm not sure. There seemed like a lot of lazy choices for me. But you mentioned the porn aspect of it, and that was something that caught you when you first watched it. Mm-hmm. I was curious for you to, like, if you wanted to expand more on that, because you said that was something that drew you to it.
Yeah.
And like its depiction of that. Because I think that's something that, for me, like it does that in a way that's a lot of, I can't think of a lot of other movies that portray in male loneliness in this way. But then he's like, he enjoys it more than sex. So that was an interesting dynamic of his character. But was that part of it for you, or just having that part of a movie in general?
I recognized in college, especially being a part of multiple social circles, like how porn is becoming more readily available, and it is influencing the way that people can see relationships if they don't educate themselves, or like maybe not educate themselves, but like keep themselves grounded in reality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, and porn is one thing, and it's an easy thing to go to. So I don't want to chastise porn. And I don't think the people making this movie are anti-porn. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't get that sense, but what they're saying is like, it's porn. Like the way that people could consume porn is has a lot of similarities to now a lot of modern ills. Is like there's so many things that are so easily accessible that you can just indulge in them all the time, mm-hmm. and you can lose your sense of reality in it, because it will become your reality because you're just able to consume it every day. So if something exists every day for you, it's your reality. Mm-hmm. Right. And I found it very interesting that it is just making a stance by an actress that I respect the shit out of, who does at least communicates the things that you should think about in order to unpill yourself essentially from a reality that isn't actual, like the real reality. There's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's like people build up in themselves, a reality that doesn't exist, I guess, and it's hard for me to, I don't know the terminologies for this psychologically, but like now, because you can live online a personality, that personality will become you. And then once it becomes you, it's your reality. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true, like based in facts, mm-hmm. it's just based in, facts in that they exist there, but are they really good for you or are they true is almost beside the point. And I just find this movie's like, and what it's kind of, what it's trying to say at the end of it, really interesting.
Yeah, that was because, the more interesting part was Julianne Moore's sum up at the end for sure, and him, her kind of dressing him down, and that is absolutely what the movie feels as well, is her, is what her character tells him at the end, because yeah, it's not championing ScarJo in the movie. If anything, it's showing how toxic and incompatible their relationship is, which can happen to anybody, is that you just like your priorities and your needs don't line up and they're not treating each other well. And then, you know, there's on the outside looking in of this movie, I see the arc of him moving on to Julianne Moore and then having just an, accepting that's an easy breezy thing. But like you're saying, that really comes together at the end, and up until then it is this routine, which I think when you discuss reality, I think his routine is the makeup of that, and that's the buildup of that reality that he's constructed for himself, and that convenience and that ability to make these or use something like that quick and easy ends up being kind of selfish and borderline, I don't know, narcissistic wouldn't be the word, but and Julianne Moore to tell him like, you don't give anything to anybody and you expect everything in return. And that at least was borderlining on something that I was interested in the movie getting more into. And it's a shame that it took so long. I feel like to get there, because there's a lot of time spent with him and ScarJo, and him trying to hide his porn addiction to her and to the church, or just trying to work through that with the father.
Not to the church.
With the father. And ScarJo and the church. So yeah, you want to break down the list and talk about all those at least ScarJo. I mean, ScarJo is.
Yeah,
is
definitely, I would love to, James.
Yeah. That's what you do every day too, huh? Don Braun.
You betcha.
ScarJo is solid too. And as far as like the Jersey accent goes, she isn't too shabby at making it fun and like wearing a,
yeah, she's good.
Costumes are pretty crazy, but you know, she wears a leather jacket and everything. It's that she's cute and fun. And it's like, she's having a good enough time in making it somewhat lived in. And then there's JGL, but what do you feel about ScarJo and the rest of the cast? Get to talk a little bit about the cast.
No. But I get what you mean. It's like JGL is trying a lot harder than ScarJo is to affect. Like, and we've talked about this with, I always am really kind of irked by, which is so funny because she's in this movie. Anne Hathaway.
Ah, yeah, she is in this movie.
Isn't it? It's so funny to me that Anne Hathaway is the like idealistic or like the representation of film love.
Right, which is, he compares to pornography for women is essentially what he
for
said.
For women, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Which, how do you feel about that statement?
No, because romance is... and as with porn, I guess could be just, it's non-binary, you know, it's all a matter of preference, sure. I guess it's like,
yeah,
it's
not totally.
One for the other. And I'm definitely one to enjoy a good romantic, drama or comedy.
Me too. So absolutely.
I feel more inclined to reject, cause I want some of that too for myself. I want some romantic comedy joy as well. I watched. Even I tried to watch 50 Shades recently, too. This is a total side tangent, but damn. It made me so upset when it's trying to be so sexy. This is in a different sort of way and a much more masculine sort of way. That one's trying to please the female gaze, which is like something that's much needed in movies as well. And and it sucks for it to fail so bad. But this is very much. Yeah, about masculinity, and I wanted to get more into the toxic side of that as well, like him for him to be an asshole, but he ends up getting with ScarJo, and they're kind of just assholes to each other.
Which is what the comeuppance is, right? It's like, it's the idea that he, like, she is his equal in the sense of being so interested in the, what you're supposed to be, like what the ideal is, you know? Like, yeah. Which is to ScarJo's real credit, like she meets him at being the person who is that like smoke show, but is not really that interested in wanting to, like, she wants to change him to his ideals, right?
She wants to own him.
Yeah, absolutely.
She like wants to own him as property and all, but she's also,
she wants him to be exactly like she thinks a man should be,
right?
And he feels the same way about that. It's like he wants, in his mind,
there's a role he has to fill, which that's her prerogative.
And there's a role he feels that she has to fill that she's not fulfilling as well. And it's just weird and uncomfortable to have those like lines of monologuing where he's talking about like doggy style sucks, you know, mm-hmm. and girls don't want to necessarily.
Oh, he likes mission. No, he likes doggy style. He doesn't like missionary.
He loves doggy style. That's
missionary,
right.
Is yeah. born, but missionary, they like.
Sucks. Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's all of that to me is so interesting because JGL does understand that this movie is satire and there is
thin. It's so thin, but it's trying to be. I know.
Right, absolutely. To just kind of backpedal a little bit,
please.
Is to talk about JGL, where he's at, is like this movie also kind of ends a very strong run of his.
Yeah, when is this? Is this after Inception and like Dark Knight Rises and shit?
Yeah,
absolutely. He was hot shit, and then he did the Hit Record show after this.
He'd been doing Hit Records before all of that.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I remember it like came to like a more primetime maybe viewing.
Yes, it did. Sure. That's true.
Like streaming, yeah, but in a big way.
But he started Hit Record in 2005 because his brother, who passed away, was really into this idea. So he just always kept with it.
And that was like an online thing. And then it became like a show, like on streaming, right? Is when
YouTube something.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Like YouTube. And it was all peer. Yeah. Created content that would kind of come in. Yeah. And I would jump into that every now and then and check it out. And it was like, it was a very earnest, honest, sincere concept from someone who wants nothing more than to be creative and to practice that creativity in like a public space. And much like Anne Hathaway, sometimes it's a little much to be the audience in those circumstances. Yeah. You're like happy for him. You're like, hey, go get him, JGL. Go get him. You know, but sometimes it's like, it's a little much to watch.
It's like anybody. Yeah,
so important.
It's like
so important to you.
Anybody who's had a friend who is a theater major, and
hey, it was almost me.
It was almost you, yeah, for sure. But you know what I mean? It's like there are certain theater majors that are like a lot to him.
Yeah. Like oh, yeah. I was in that world for
lot.
Sure, man.
They're a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're just so performative and so like exuding this need to be seen and through their creativity. I don't want to. I'm not trying to demean anybody who is a theater major. I'm sorry.
They'd be the first to admit. I'm sure.
But yeah, like there's just that. And that's why upon this viewing, it was very noticeable about the accent and about this persona JGL is affecting, which was incredibly distracting this viewing, where I'm like, my God, this is just a person who's seen a New Jersey person on TV, like watched, you know,
it's an impression of the situation.
It's yeah, right.
It's like, it feels very much like impressionistic of doing like the big things that'll get you through, but it's not, I don't know. It was kind of insufferable to watch him a lot of them. Well, in a lot of there's so much, there's so much narration. There's a lot of narration of like, daily, just going through his routine. I'm curious how many days this goes through, at least the routine of it, because it just it goes through those and it starts to get very repetitive very quickly. And he's just narrating it the whole time and telling you exactly how he feels at all points. And there's just a lot of other times for other kinds of introspection, but he's just not that type of guy. But that,
you bring
the, that accent and the whole thing was just one note a little bit.
Sure. And you bring up a point that upon this viewing that I was really tuned into is like, this isn't a good movie. And this, as a first time directorial debut, this movie is relatively boring. It is a little weirdly aimless and just rests on its laurels. But
it feels like a debut for sure.
Not a debut you're like excited about. You know, now watching this, you're just like, I think this is something obviously debuts, that'll be present throughout this whole episode, is like, there are some ideas about this movie that I'm not going to criticize my younger self for being into, but now looking upon this again, I'm like, yeah, there are some like visually, plotting wise and just overall, like where your focus is aimless, not well developed and uninteresting.
The editing and choice of and pacing, as I mentioned, is the repetition of that routine. Yeah. But just as a single example, there was this moment, I forget exactly where in the movie, it's like where he and him, ScarJo, like leave each other at the end of the night, and then it goes into the morning. And it does the slow zoom out on top of the kitchen counter to him washing a plate. And he's looking at this little thing on the plate like, I really got to get that.
Yeah,
and, totally. End scene.
Yeah.
And then it goes into him like going to church. I'm like, why did we need that? What was the point of that?
I was such like, a neat freak. He's such a neat freak, dude. The Swiffer conversation that he has, like he's just which okay.
But the we Swiffer conversation. He was just Swiffer washing up.
Okay, can like, I just say
the editing was bananas, dude. I had to like stop for a second. I was like, dude. I rewound. I was like, what? Did I miss something? Did something else happen in that scene? No, it was just him. And the shot was like really trying to be like, look at that morning light.
Look at that. Look at that. Oh yeah.
And then there's other things like the stop animation, which I thought was kind of cool, but also like someone making a video for YouTube.
Right. That stop animation of him jerking off in all these places, right?
Yeah, on the bed, like in the changing, like the sheets and then the pizza.
He jerked off like 12 times, I think, is like 11 times or whatever. Is what it was insinuating. He ordered a pizza. He jerked off like 7 times, ordered a pizza, and then into the pizza, and then jerked off more times. It's
insane. But that is like a clear sign of, yeah, like a debut of an amateur. Oh my God, sorry, buddy. But like, it's like something that's very earnest. Yeah. He's such an earnest dude, and he's trying something different. He's like, we're going to have a whole sequence of like a montage of me jerking it, stop animation, because I want to try to see if I can do it, you know, and it like...
Because it's all of his influences.
It's kind of cool, but it ends up being kind of pointless as well.
But it's so interesting that all of his influences are on display like that, because he literally was on, he did a Spielberg movie, a Nolan movie, and then a Mark Webb movie.
And so Lincoln, he was, and then Webb was, which one was the Webb one?
Webb was 500 Days of Summer.
Ah, yeah. I mean, this is definitely writing off the high of that.
Well, in interviews, too, he said as much as like, I watched an interview where they were the guy interviewing him was like, this has a lot of similarities to 500 Days of Summer because it has the tendency by male viewers to misinterpret him like the main character.
Right.
You know, as being championing good guy. And, you know, and if anybody, and that's all, what's funny about 500 Days to Summer for me in my life is like, you're supposed to watch that movie as a guy and go like, here's this fucking self-absorbed piece of shit that is ruining a relationship with somebody because all he gives a shit about is himself. And it's like,
and like then, romanticizing and putting people things on pedestals.
I've seen movies too, but that's, Right. I've seen movies too, so I can understand how you get there, but you're misreading the tea leaves. You know, it's like anybody who's ever seen fucking
Fight Club.
Fight Club. Fight Club. That's what I want to talk about, because recently watching Fight Club again, it was kind of similar to this movie where a younger version, like the younger me, didn't notice certain aspects of it or didn't understand the tone of it well enough because I just hadn't seen enough or hadn't experienced enough. So I got wrapped up in like how cool this is when you watch these things, you're like, no, these aren't good people. These aren't the guys you want to be.
There's
no plan. And also too, all of this shit that is happening to them is because of them. Even though it's like exciting to see in a movie. So then you think, well, if I act like this, then my life will be exciting. But you're like, all of these terrible things are happening because they put themselves in there by having terrible views on like society and on life. And it is, yeah. Again, this movie is so interesting to me because it presents itself as here is what a terrible way of looking at things is.
Yeah. And like it gets there at the end and you'd have to be pretty stupid to not get it. But it, with this one, it is not there and like banging you over the head at the end necessarily, but it's absolutely there. And that's a big part of what the ending is. And you'd have to be pretty stupid to not understand that. And with Fight Club, it is so multi-layered and it looks so cool. And you have Brad Pitt and everything that like people just get so disillusioned with the makeup of it all rather than the substance. But
Fight Club is a better movie than
especially
this.
Like an impressionable mind and everything. Yeah, it is still a great movie, but it is interesting like to see how people interpret things and people understanding media literacy these days. And I've already talked about this with like Poor Things and everything, and people misinterpreting what the movie's trying to do is so frustrating. So, and it's like, it's totally fine if you don't like it, but then when we read these reviews on our podcast and it's like, oh, you don't like it, whatever, that's fine. But like, you really don't like it for like this other reason that's like, it confuses and befuddles me when people misinterpret it so badly that it like offends them in a stupid way rather than like the right way. It's like, it's okay if you're offended, but you're not offended in the right way because you're too stupid to get it, which I'm not the smartest guy in the tool shed. And you know, there's not many smart guys in that tool shed, but it's just me in there trying to hammer a screw or something. But
they call you the hammer, right?
They call me the hammer. Why do they call you the hammer? It.
I am Spartacus.
There's sections of the movie. I mean, like I'm trying to think of like any other sections. I feel like the club and like the dinner sections of the movie.
Oh, can I talk about club stuff?
Club stuff. Let's go into club land.
So something that threw me off this time around is how terrible of a relationship he has with his friends, even though that's also what he cares about. You know what I mean? But when I saw this this time, I really picked up. I'm like, he couldn't give a shit less about any of these so-called friends. And like, he only makes fun of one guy all the time and never tells him he's doing anything great and just like makes fun of him. Like his friends function as wallpaper to his life. And it was so crazy to me to be like, that to think about it at that level of like when somebody says, and I've met these people, you know what I mean? It's like, and you have too, I'm sure. Is these people are functioning only as like, I'm going to show up to this place. I'm going to need to talk to somebody for a little bit of time, but I couldn't give a fuck less about what's going on with their life.
Yeah.
And it made me hate Don John a lot, because I'm like, you don't give a shit about any of your friends. Mm-hmm. If anything, his black friend was like an actually good person.
Oh, yeah.
Who like shows up and was like, hey, dude,
that scene was so frustrating.
You said this at the club the other night, and like, wait a minute, like, that's okay, what's going on? And I was like, thank you. Finally, somebody is like, ask, because right, like with the voiceover and with where the scenes are and the camera is like, all you know is his perspective. So much of this movie, like 80% of the movie, and it is annoying at a time because you're like, but I'm not supposed to like you though, right? So like, it's not smart enough or funny enough where even though I'm not supposed to like you, I'm okay with hanging out with you. I'm just getting frustrated with being around you. Like, you're making dumb decisions. You're like having the wrong perspective on stuff. Like, even from jump, you're like, I can understand you wanting to have fun, but your version of fun sounds shitty. Like, all you're doing is you're going to the club just to hook up because you need to rectify your porn addiction. And you're like, why do I give a fuck about this character?
And it's so competitive, and it's like, that can definitely be a part of it. But when it gets into that, that was the most frustrating moment, is that there's no follow-up to him treating his friend like utter shit for coming and like stopping by to check on him, which was already a little extraneous. Like, as far as like that,
they do have a makeup for that. No, that's not true. They have a makeup because night he just doesn't give a shit about chicks. And so then they had that night where they're just eating tacos together and they're like, you know what? You're still a piece of shit. And then they're just, and it's so vapid, and it's so, that could have been
the other layer of that moment.
That was so much more interesting.
Yeah. But the other layer of him visiting too, beyond just being a shitty friend, is the extent to his porn addiction. Is that dire that like he is so annoyed at his friend stopping by that he's like treating his friend like shit?
Yeah.
Because he's in the middle. I mean, you should just not even like porn. I guess it's porn. It's just or masturbation, whatever the addiction is. Mm-hmm. You could, what do you break it down to? He defines it as porn. For all my knowledge in the movie, but like for him to be so annoyed with his friend, so annoyed with like life events and the things that he needs to do, like his routine and everything, and that it's obstructing those things, is a true addiction. And to get into that of the movie too, of like, oh, he's like, got to figure this out because it's like fucking up other parts of his life,
but it's not really at all, right?
The way that comes,
his relationship,
the way that comes about is
just the part that
that's the crux of the ScarJo, and then the night class thing. I don't know, whatever, but that would be the other section we could talk about as well. But like him going,
please, because that's the best section of the movie.
But like that's where that rears its head. Is what I'm talking about. He brings his phone into fucking a public place, his school, and is watching porn at his school. Like that could expand to such an interesting scene or conflict or something that could happen within the movie. Of like, he gets caught in a public place. I mean, he gets caught by Julianne Moore or whatever, a sound for comedy, for something. I don't know. It's just like, I was just thinking of something like for him to really face his porn addiction head on in a way that like someone tells him, like, you need to get help in a sanctioned way because you got fucking caught. And I don't know, not make him a sexual offender, like put him on a list to that extent, but just get him to the point where like, he has to face his issue, and I feel like he never gets there in terms of intimacy with a person is one thing, and he understands that's an issue with that and his ability to be intimate with somebody and to have a relationship. But I feel like the issue with the porn addiction is much bigger than that, is my
argument.
I feel like it's life consuming, borderline. Like he's,
but it's a real issue. But it's not necessarily because his apartment's clean, he has a job, like all of these things. and then he just likes porn. So it's not, yeah.
Yeah,
it
is. I guess I was just expecting it to, like,
yeah,
you want it accelerate to accelerate or the, yeah, the plot you want to be like,
more drama.
The plot to like
this go up. This movie has very little drama
to go up or something, but it just kind of flatlines. Like, this movie fucking flatlines and just and yeah. then goes away.
It's like whatever. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
rather it's than very, do anything, but you know.
Yeah, it's very shallow. This movie, right?
I mean, you're making me say it. Then yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, but it's I mean,
very shallow.
We yeah, I guess dinner scene with like Tony Danza is even something that I
say
should
it, say it right now.
It's shallow, Brady. He's shallow. Got the gun to my face. It's fucking shallow. I'm sorry. It's fucking shallow. I feel that was a real JGL Tony Danza dynamic we had in there. You like
let's talk about Tony Danza. We haven't.
I know that's like something about. I should have enjoyed the dinner scenes more. I thought the mom was fun, but like I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. It was great to see Tony Danza. Great to see Tony Danza. Respect.
It was cool. That's how I felt about it. That's how I felt about it too when the movie came out. I remember talking to, I feel like
Gary Winston
about this. It's like, Tony Danza looks great. He's bringing the heat. And it was so funny too to watch interviews with Tony Danza about this movie where he's essentially what Joseph Gordon-Levitt is.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know what I mean?
It's a real Bruce Willis and Looper situation.
Dude. Ryan Johnson.
They should have given him I don't know, what would you need for Danza? Big blues? Because he's got those big, beautiful eyes.
Yeah, he does. He
I don't think you can match that. Movie. He looks great. He fills he out that great. That I guess you is it's probably not kosher AT. To call it wife beater, but that's I
no, mean, it's AT is what you call it. An AT. AT.
He's I mean,
there's like this, like it's an instead of there's a T-shirt, which is why it goes out like this. And then there's an A shirt.
Gotcha. He's an A-frame.
So A-shirt. He's an A-shirt. A-shirt Danza.
A-shirt Danza. He loves football. He gets mad when anyone interrupts. There's this whole scene about Tebow that. Hey,
good God.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, it is interesting because I've had that conversation with my parents, that exact conversation, you know what I mean?
Oh, we all have. JGL really tapped a nerve there.
He did for me. I'm just saying. Is that he tapped a nerve where I'm just it like
was kind of big fat Greek wedding-y a little bit, like I know what Tito is. Oh,
you know, one of the most successful movies ever,
Big Fat Greek Wedding. One. It's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, that one part. Okay, not the whole thing of the movie.
I put Windex on my cuts because of that movie.
You're supposed to put them on your pimples. Oh, you do it for everything. Do it for everything. Brandini. Don Brandini. Oh, I made him upset. I made him upset. Whoa. He's going to pull out the gun again. And then I guess there's church section, which really is just
let's talk about that.
Just walking in and then face and then walking out. And then he gets frustrated with the complex.
He plays around with this.
Where he's like, he really thinks it's a personal relationship that he has with the father. But
yeah, totally.
It's really just a different guy every time. And then he gets frustrated.
Well, no, they don't say. They don't say, though.
That's how that arc works out. But then I guess it forces him to confront his own demons himself rather than rely on. Yeah. Yeah. I have to do the extra work, though. I feel like I got to do extra work here.
But you got there, though.
I know. It's very obvious, but I just want them to put the scene in. I feel like there's editing choices where, like, they put stuff that doesn't matter in and there's other scenes that are missing.
Okay, so let's get to the end of this. So I mean, yeah,
there's the Brie Larson scene. That's a very important scene.
All right,
she does say one line. Brie Larson
is dude, and her whole bit with him is pretty great.
It's good. Like, it's a good part.
It's good. It's a really good part. It's like, no, she wanted you to be something else. And I was just hanging out with a friend of ours where I was like, that's the relationship problem you're having too, is like somebody that wants to just be with you because they see what you can be in their own image is not a healthy place to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want somebody to like a part of being in a relationship with them is they're going to change you and fix you so that then you become the person that they want you to be, you know?
Yeah, there's no room for growth. And that's where this movie comes to a head. But yar, much too late, yar. It'd be one of them movies that comes much too late, yar. I was going to go through my notes real quick. One of the first line, I think the very first line is the Mac sound going on. Uh-huh. Like, bong, because that is a big motif in the movie. And then the first line in the movie is, not going to lie, that sound gets me hard as a rock. And then the movie begins.
My note is, yo, not going to lie, is the first line in the movie.
Yeah, yo. I forgot the yo, sorry. Not going to lie. Yo. It's like, thanks for not lying, JGL.
I yelled that out to my TV when I was watching. I was like, thank God.
Oh, Brandon's going to love this. Yeah. We here at Polarized love when people say, not going to lie.
Yeah, not going to lie. I'm like, finally. God, I'm so glad to know that. What you're saying is not a lie.
The first line of the movie should not be a lie unless you're Stanley Kubrick, where you believe anything that anyone speaks is a lie and the truth stays hidden. And it's up to you to figure it out. Maybe, no, that's not what this movie's doing. He very much speaks his truth throughout the whole time. My body pad ride. My body, my pad, my ride, my family, my church, my boys, my girls, my porn. My body, my pad, my ride, my family, my church, my boys, my girls, my porn. My body, my pad, my ride, my family, my church, my boys, my girls, my porn. That's a little like more unwieldy than GTL. He says handful of titty at one point. Your mom has some big ass titties. They're talking about, it really gets into the Freudian aspect in that club scene, which the movie is trying to do for sure. Real pussy can kill ya. Another line in this movie. They use the computer trash sound when he's throwing it in the dumpster. I thought that was a very, I don't know. That's like, it was creative, but then they did it every time and so much that you notice it every time. But it was good. It was for such like a JGL. I can picture JGL being like, yeah, and we're going to use the Apple trash sound as we throw it away. It's going to be perfect. And then he stalks her. He like straight up Facebook stalks her. He looks her up on Facebook, Barbara Sugarman, and then like stalks her to a
room. He comes over to his friend's place to have them look it up for him because he doesn't know how to use Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
his computer is solely a porn machine. For porn.
I can't have him tracing it back to me. Yeah.
I don't understand a search history. That whole bit was insane. What the fuck is a
cookie? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, wait, you're very tech unsavvy, but then porn is what you figured out is so funny to me.
He just says, like, yeah,
just has no understanding about how a computer works, but he watches a lot of internet porn. Like, that's, yeah.
And he uses a black laptop. That's pretty bold for strictly porn usage. Sorry, gross. The fake movies are So Hard, So Fast with Bruce Blackstone and Kelly Vallette, which is John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, I believe. And then the other movie is that they actually do watch is Special Someone with Connor Vareau and Emily Lombardo, Channing Tatum and Anne Hathaway. Then comes the scene of them doing dishes, of him doing dishes after that date. And they just show a Carl's Jr. ad with no commentary on it. And just like it was like a good moment of like representing what the movie was to me is like they just show you a Carl's Jr. ad.
Yeah, they do with Brooklyn Decker.
And they don't. There's nothing else. There's no one says anything. Did no one react?
That commercial existed too, which is so interesting.
It's just straight up a commercial. And Carl's Jr. was okay with them. Oh yeah. I remember all those.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And then I remember talking to my dad about those commercials because it would be something that would come on the weekend, like
for football games.
Like between football games and shit. And it's like, and then your dad being like, they don't make commercials like this anymore or whatever. And you're like, wow.
Or some dad joke is like, yeah, she's really getting that car clean, sure. Yeah. Good.
Right.
You missed a spot.
She doesn't eat those burgers, I can guarantee you. Okay.
Those are the Paris Hilton times. Yeah, definitely reminded me of a time, but it was just like another thing where it just didn't seem to have much to say other than show you, which was like a good place to start the movie beyond like when he actually started talking, was like a compilation of how sex crazed our society is a little bit, but also like in a very edging sort of, we're just like on the tip of always like everything is always, you know, and like, that's a good place to start with this movie for sure. And that's why like being let down was frustrating for sure.
I think this movie would be like noticeably better if the intro, where it just flashes images of popular television and like porn together, intersplicing them, is that if they played the actual Cisco thong song. The weird music that they got at the beginning of this is like so bizarre and not
even
fun.
The club music too sucks.
It's just shitty. If he got Cisco's thong song, if you were to cut this movie with Cisco's thong song at the beginning of it, I think it would be like 5x better.
Dude, the movie entirely for sure. It definitely is like cutting corners with having this generic ass fucking club beat whenever they go to the club. And like, totally. It was so frustrating when he would like make eyes and they wanted to do the like quick cut, like I don't know, even like Requiem for a Dream,
but
just like a quick cut of like he sees a girl and then like it cuts to them like dancing together and you go see the routine or whatever. If that song that they do each time and the motif that they use was more like a big deal and recognizable, like that moment would hit so much harder. Instead, it's just like, bow, chicka, bow,
bow. Yeah, it's like, oh, that's just gross. Yeah, it's so boring.
There's totally foreplay while they're talking about meeting families. And then there's the whole, we didn't talk about the hallway scene where they dry hump she holds him hostage. In order for their family, them to meet each other's families, because they haven't had sex yet. So this is her way of forcing the commitment to go down this road by. It was a very strange scene. It's a very strange scene, to say the least. And strangely enough, I'm okay with something being weird,
very uncomfortable,
and like a romantic comedy, like something could be weird, but it just is so weird. How it starts is like, you want to meet my brother and my sister, don't you? You want to meet my mother, my father, you want to come over for dinner,
Come on. It's so funny.
I'm laughing at it. I'm not laughing with it. I feel like you don't know.
Me too, though. Yeah.
I feel like there's a part of it where they're trying to be on the joke.
And he cups his pants!
He does. And then he gets to do his laundry later and he sees his cum stain. He's like, oh, great.
And he scratches it. You can hear that.
Oh, is that like him washing the dish? Is like, oh, this reminds me of me on my cum stain earlier. Oh, I got cum on my dish. I've been jerking off too much. Oh my god.
Now you get it.
Bonkers ass scene. It was silly, but he just came in his pants and she's like, all right, see you later.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll see you later.
All right, we're gonna go meet each other's families.
And then don't they fuck in like a child's bed?
It's her old bedroom, I guess, and at her family's place. And they're like, everyone's there and they're like, hey, can you come help? Can you come help make dinner or whatever? And he's like, and then she's like, we gotta go make dinner or whatever. And he's like, damn it, I wanted to fuck. He's like such a dick. He's like, I want to fuck in your childhood bedroom now.
This movie's unhinged, James. I'm telling you.
I don't know. Can we talk about when he meets? Sorry. Do you want to go?
Okay.
I feel like
we
should go back. It's your turn to do it now.
Okay. My
we'll do a note.
I have a note here that what Julianne Moore stands for is finally something interesting.
Yeah. Substance.
Right. It's what's going on with her. Solves the problems of this movie, and I'm okay with it. like, because it's handled by one of the best actresses of all time. Like, I haven't seen a movie she's in where she is not in just incredible, like, understands the assignment and just, like, brings it full fucking force. And this viewing in particular, I was like, everything Julianne Moore is about, that's what matters, is because this idea that she's like, here's a, like, how hot is it for a girl to give you a porn thing? And it's even hotter that it's not about just fucking. It's about, like, people probably just, like, being naked around each other, or, like, you know, like, I don't know, kid shit. Like, that's hot. And, you know, it's her, what she stands for too with the family stuff is really interesting. How do you feel about that? Because it's like, it's a lot on top of a lot.
She has a lot of weight to put on her shoulders, absolutely, like you're talking about with her performance, because the movie has not provided us the enough substance to this point. And my note that I was going to bring up was how he meets her, which really bummed me out. Well, she is bawling, crying in front of the entrance of the building to get back into the night class. And his reaction is like, oh, perfect. I got to walk by this lady who's crying. And he's so annoyed with just the fact that he has to walk by her. And he walks by. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, hey, don't worry about it, whatever. And he's like, fucking annoying ass bitch. But the growth of that relationship is something that I had the most curiosity about. And I had the most, like, curiosity about as a character, for sure, about, like, where that plane was landing with them. And overall, like, I am happy where it landed, and their scenes together, like, they are so rough because there's such an imbalance between the two of them. But she looks, like, to his soul and delivers a line that the movie doesn't deserve. It doesn't deserve her. She cuts to the core of him and the movie and just, like, looks straight through him and is like, nah, you're full of shit. Like,
shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that she is such a successful actress that anything she touches is going to shine a little brighter. But
this is crazy how bright she shines, right?
Yeah, it reminded me of watching Gloria Bell for this podcast. Dude, was like totally. Kind of like the same, kind of a similar energy or something, of just like free spirited, but also like a lot of her facial expressions emote like loss
and pain
and hurt, and also like an attempt to let go and be free and everything. And JGL just has the same, like,
and then she looks at him like, you're such a fucking idiot, like, what are you talking about? But then she still hooks up with him because he's got, I don't know, this, like, he's the main character, and she's able to make that seem real and add so many more layers to what the core concept of the movie is. And it's just really wonderful to see an actor elevate themselves beyond the material always. And she's so good at that.
She is the heart of the movie, if there was one. And if there was more follow through on her, I think too, and her ability to affect him through their relationship, there's a part of me that would have been more curious about that, of truncating the ScarJo relationship and providing more of a follow through with the Julianne Moore, because where it ends, I'm curious, because it is about living in the present and being open to change and breaking out of your routine. And maybe this isn't going to last forever, but we're intimate in this moment. Yeah. We can enjoy each other's company.
Being present.
Who knows what's going to happen next, but we're enjoying our time together now. And that's like Eternal Sunshine, man. It's like one of my favorites too. That's like the whole point of that movie, is just like, this could all end in heartbreak as well, but who cares? Like, that's part of being human. And she teaches them that, but it's just the movie doesn't know when to highlight the things that are working and when to put away the things that aren't, unfortunately. But they got such a great cast, especially, yes, I think Julianne Moore for sure is MVP. And then I'll see you any other.
Yeah, let's do a. You want to do break or notes? Notes?
I'll do quick fire notes, and then we'll definitely get to break, because I think I don't have much else beyond... he's annoyed at somebody crying. when Brie Larson is leaning against the church, like, she's always on her phone at church. She's always on her phone throughout the whole movie, but there's one... She does a different pose every time, and when she's leaning against the wall of the church, I thought that was my favorite. She gets really upset about him not... Or about him wanting to clean his own place is like a big thing.
Yeah, man. Okay, good.
Do you want to talk about that now or when we get back?
No. Let's talk about that.
And then that was like a big point of conflict, which was beyond the point.
Which cracked me up because a bit of mine, you know, thing I've taken on the road. It's a tried and trusted good bit. So I'm going to say it on this, on the pod, is I think what would really kill for a magazine, like a calendar for women, similarly to like, hot chicks for guys, is a calendar for women that would just absolutely crush is men doing, chores. And that's their thing, is that they're doing chores around the house, but they're kind of like, my bottoms fell down a little bit, or like, my shirt fell off, or something.
I'm cleaning
like that.
The fireplace just with a single tiny apron.
Yeah,
you don't like to clean the fireplace, do you? Don't worry, I'll take care of it for you.
I've done two loads of laundry right now. My shirt's in the laundry.
I gotta mow the lawn with just this. All right. Clean the pool too. Wow.
And the feedback that I've gotten from women on that bit is funny, because it is sexy. It is sexy.
How are those polls going every other Thursday? You go down to the
I go down the polling office. No, but the polls out there. I'm saying the polls out there. Women, it's funny because
not to ScarJo. ScarJo would hate that.
No, she would. That's
Barbara Sugarman would.
Okay, that's what I'm getting. So, okay, yeah. So to get off the bed, I'm sorry, it's not that good of a bed, but nonetheless.
I like it. I'm just saying she would hate it.
Is girls find it very sexy when guys are just like, I need to, you know, figure out how much we need to pay for car insurance, you know, like those type of things, like figuring shit out. It can be very, very small and rudimentary, but then like, you're like, ooh, busted, and a little guilty about it. Very funny. Anyways, the idea that she is upset about him wanting his place to be clean kind of drove me nuts.
Yeah, I get the point. If she's trying to be like naggy about like a lot of things in his life and over controlling about a lot of things. Unfortunately, the movie doesn't do enough to do like, oh, she's controlling about every little thing. It's like they only show like the porn and the cleaning. So it almost makes it just seem like she's very specifically pissed off about just these two things and everything else is fine. I feel like they could. Yeah, it could have done a little bit more to be like she's trying to control a lot of his life. But the cleaning thing, they spend like a few, like a minute or two really having this whole argument in a public place at the store about just using, I'll get you my cleaner. Don't worry about
Swiffer,
it.
Swiffer, babe. Swiffer, babe. I wrote down.
I was like, so frustrating too, because it was really painting her in a different light when like, we got to work through JGL's issues a lot.
Swiffer.
JGL's.
Babe, it's the best.
Yeah. That was like reminded of the Carl's Jr. thing where it was just like, oh, this is paid for as well. But it was like, it was focusing on her faults and problems when there was so much presented with JGL that I made me realize at that moment in the movie, which I maybe was starting to realize to that point, was like, oh, we're not going to get into him enough. Like this is getting into her now and their relationship. And then when that took so long to fall apart and eventually get to Julianne Moore, it was just like, oh, now he's like on his way by the end. But it was like, I want to see, don't want to see, but it, like the movie that would have been more interesting would take place when, the end of act three would be the end of act one a little bit sort of thing.
It's crazy to hear you say what it would be more interesting for more of this thing to exist in the movie, because I
just want more Julianne Moore.
You know, oh, definitely. But I feel like that has come up in this podcast before, and it's interesting to just note that Yeah, in opposition, it's funny when you're like, oh, I just wish that this movie would go into and more tends to be a place of contention.
Yeah, and it's I try to catch myself when I say those kind of things where, like, yeah, I shouldn't necessarily say how the movie should be made or what should be different, because I really do think that JGL kind of made the movie that he wanted to.
Pretty tight movie.
It is a tight hour and a half. It almost seemed like they didn't have enough edit stuff in the editing room. We're like, hey, what if we put a scene of him washing dishes?
I mean, he
broke a car window with just his hand. He's got some serious rage issues.
Let's hear what the
My last note was, I hate how he smokes joints. He's like, hey, I'm gonna smoke some weed now.
I'm
Tony high Danza. As shit. Fuck. And it was just like, he made like such like a meal out of like him like grabbing a joint. Like, every time we grab a joint, he's like, oh, okay, let me try some of that wacky tobacco. Oh, wow.
Overacting?
That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
But let's take a little break and we'll be back for some reviews and our own final thoughts.
James, you know what was on the other night? I had a couple people over and we watched Stop Making Sense.
Oh, fun. That's so great.
It's the best.
Watching that with a group of people I'd never done until I saw it at the movie, like the Pantages thing too. So that was that cool? Was that everybody dancing around?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it just like the best? How it's like constructed and everything. I don't know. It's so satisfying to see the band get constructed and on stage and just see the energy just grow as the
show absolutely. Goes on. To start the show off with your biggest song, but it's like stripped down, then to build on top of that is so crazy.
Yeah, and it's like their first big hit too. It's on that album you got as a record too. God, isn't that crazy? Speaking of debuts, we're back, everybody. Yeah. Speaking of debuts, I'm gonna just jump right in. That 77 Talking Heads, what a fucking debut. It blows my mind that, like, oh, this is like this is your first album. I know it's tough, JGL. You can't be a Talking Head 77.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, let's hear what the critics loved about this movie. They gave this good score. They gave it a certified fresh 80%. That is very good. Mm-hmm. We've been around the Rotten Tomatoes block on this podcast. Yeah. It's very good from the critics. It's certified fresh. And then it's 58% from the audience. I don't know. Like, the scores, I think, are like a little surprising on both sides. Uh-huh. A little bit.
Totally.
I feel like this is like really at the beginning of Rotten Tomatoes too, but I don't know. I could be wrong. Or like at least the popularity of Rotten Tomatoes was growing.
It's got 50,000 reviews on the audience side too.
Wow. So yeah, it's like the scores are in. There's some that polarizing ones. Yeah. Where it's like maybe an obscure movie we've done here and there, or that like not too many votes, and like those get to be more pronounced. But yeah, there's a big,
so interested what your score is going to be.
There's a big sampling. I mean, I always like to keep it fluid coming into this record and everything. I'm like, I'm definitely curious to hear what Brandon has to say, because it always changes my score every single time. Like, we go on the podcast, I think I kind of know, and then I listen to you and it changes it. Yeah. Either one way or the other.
Right. Discussion. The same goes for me as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh, that's what, sure. That's a great part of it.
That's what's good. Yeah. That's what's good about having a conversation about a thing.
Mm-hmm. And we've just been at each other's throats this whole time. You're like, well, I like it. Like, well, I hate it. I like it. I hate it.
I'm going to get you.
Yeah, he's got, I mean, you have the, you have your pistol sitting there on the desk. I know.
I got pistols that are going to shoot through the internet.
From Betsy Sharkey, Los Angeles Times, 4 out of 5. Who would have thought one of the most amusing and oddly insightful romantic comedies would be built around the power and potent pull of porn?
Yeah.
Power and potent pull of porn. Power and potent pull of porn.
Porn, 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 porn.
From Mary Reinstein, US Weekly, GTL comparisons aside, John's sublime journey extends well past the shenanigans along the Jersey Shore's old boardwalk. 3.5 out of 4. And from Bob Mondello, NPR.
Angelo Bottolamenti.
Angelo Bottolamenti. Get in here, Angelo.
Oh.
I want to be one part in Dune. I fucking hate being here, but just put me as one of the the fucking spice harvesters. I don't fucking care.
The second George Lucas talked about the Ewoks, I got a headache.
Mel Brooks helped me immensely. Any other questions? You shouldn't know what's going on. That's the point.
Point.
Bob Mondello, NPR. Gordon Levitt keeps things riotous for the film's first hour. And if he eases into an ending that's a little Hollywood standard after having so much fun tweaking form and content, I'm guessing audiences will cut him some slack. I feel like people are like, oh, it's JGL. I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh, it's first like, movie? Oh, we feel first bad movie? For him. Oh, it's not that great. We feel bad for him. Oh, he's so sweet. He's so sweet. He's so earnest. You don't want to be mad at him. Even Bob Mondello is like, oh, I'll cut him some slack. Manola Dargis.
That's all the critics.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? They're like, oh, they'll be nice. Because the movie's not so great. So they got to be nice because they like him. Manola Dargis, New York Times. A deceptively sincere movie about masculinity and its discontents. Mr. Gordon Levitt making a fine feature directing debut shapes into a story about a young man's moral education. 3.5 out of 5. Just a couple more here. Claudia Puig, USA Today. Writer, director, star JGL takes an intriguing subject, human attraction, and nimbly probes it with wit, insight, and a disarming forthrightness. And then finally from Ty Burr, Boston Globe. Oh. R rating aside, it should be required viewing for every 15-year-old boy on the planet. 3 out of 4. Could you imagine?
All right, young boys, it's 11th grade. And now you have to watch a JGL movie.
Don John is on the docket. All right, let's go to the audience side. They were not very happy here on the audience side with a 58. Not too low, not too high, but definitely disagreeing with the critics. From, let's see, Carlo Galluccio. 1 star out of 5. I don't know why they felt the need to stereotype Italian men in such a negative way. Seems like showing Italians as vulgar, classless people with basically no moral values is a must in Hollywood movies. Poor Carlo. I couldn't even pronounce his name properly at first.
Oh, thank God. That's so funny that that's the first one you read. Because, like, totally. Like,
from Anthony Lawton.
This is an insane movie. From
Anthony Lawton-Zio. 1 star. Nothing worse than actors who play characters that are supposed to be from Jersey, but try using bad Brooklyn accents to be authentic and fail miserably. Rhett Copeland. 1 star. It's grounds for crimes against film. He shouldn't. He should never be allowed to direct again. Was his goal to ruin Scarlett Johansson forever? Rhett Cop Yondo, 1 star. It will be remembered as the worst thing he ever did. To do that to Scarlett Johansson is unforgivable.
This is the funniest.
From Abdul Samad Rashid, 1 star.
This movie is so stupid.
I just want to say, stop all this kind of stuff. From Nazi Abadi, 1 star out of 5. I think this movie's not good. Okay, and then we'll do a couple of Letterboxd ones just for the hell of it at the end here. I feel like this is like a different category, but I am going to use the negative scores because it is more audience side. From Grace Spellman, 1 star out of 5. This movie ruined my life. From Stringer Bell, JGL really wrote and directed a film where he's porn-addicted fuck machine who gets to hook up with Scarlett Johansson and Julianne Moore as his love interest. Right. From Lamia, 1 star, Brie Larson stole the whole movie with one line. From Jack Keller, 1 star, forgot to log this from the other day. So bad. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was on his way to stardom and then this happened.
Yep.
And then, yeah. Someone says it's an opaque text. And then finally from Marika Brownlee, 1 star, Brie Larson during this movie was me watching this movie. Side eye on the phone. That was the Letterboxd sampling. There's some drastic ones in there.
That's so great.
There's some good ones. Well, yeah, who wants to start here for you, our own feelings?
You do it.
This was not an enjoyable experience for me, even at like a tight, less than 90 minutes. I found myself watching it in 45 minute each segments kind of about because I found it very repetitious. I was hoping for more. I was hoping for more things to talk about that I liked. And I feel like I've gone on enough about things to complain about beyond just like, amateurish directing all around and him putting him in the star role. And that performance was extremely rough for me. The things that I want to enjoy, like Danza and his mom, were pretty good, but it just, the construction of the scene and the dialogue was extremely rough. And the pacing was hard to sign on for when I knew that it wasn't going into a place where like the characters were going to change or grow until the very end. And even then it was like, we didn't even talk about like the night school. The only reason he was going is just because like ScarJo like made him. And then
what school is he going? Yeah.
And then he meets Julianne Moore that way. And it's just like, there's a real lack of control over his life that he, and that's cool that maybe he figured it out at the end, but like the follow through by the director to accentuate the points to make it an interesting movie was a failure. Like there's a structure of this movie that isn't necessarily all bad. Like there's maybe even a good version of this movie, but he like patently like failed as a director to like give it to me as an audience member in a palatable way where like, I not only like, obviously I understood what was going on, but I just didn't get the pops of the moments that really needed it. And when I thought it was about to get there, it would either be some pacing issue or some narrative choice that was baffling. It's hard, man. I'm
good. I love it.
I'm sorry. I really didn't have a good time. I was like yelling at the movie by the end. And Carl, came in at the end. And I was just like, oh, I was like, why are we waiting for this for the very end, all this Julianne Moore stuff? And he's like, he's finally figuring it out. And it's like, yeah, I feel like I'm having a similar reaction to like the Chuck and Larry episode a little bit, where like I do kind of want to watch, or like I do kind of want to like Chuck and Larry, but it's like about these characters that are just like, oh, I'm getting it now. Oh yeah. And it's like, I think we should rewind and get that like act one and figure that. And then like, that would have been an interesting movie to start from there, like, and then move past that. But it takes so long for them to get to even a modicum of like tolerance, or in this case intimacy. That tolerance was in Chuck and Larry, but intimacy was in this one. And then by the end I was like, that's sweet, that's nice that he's with Julianne Moore and they're gonna have a moment, but it was too late for me, too little too late. And I'm gonna give it, because there was some like fun little artistic pops of like even the stop animation and him being an earnest director about trying to like be his best and make a good film. Still, even at that, I'd give it like a 1 star out of 5, which would essentially be a 20. So I'd give it a 20.
Yeah.
I would join all these audience members, really. I feel like I'll, not the like, it ruined my life, but This was unenjoyable, and I would not recommend it. Sorry.
No.
Sorry, JGL. Hope we can still. I want to come up with the GTL of his list, but it would be so long. It would be BPRFCBGP. Body, pad, ride, family, church, boys, girls, porn. Yeah, you know my BPRFCBGP. Okay, carry on, Brandon. What do you feel about Don John? Don Brandon.
So, I used to hold this movie in higher esteem than I do now that I've seen this movie again at this point in my life. And it was fun revisiting a movie like that, where you understood why, like parts of it, why you liked it. But now you realize that you're not understanding what's really important. And it was cathartic to go through that process. But ultimately with the movie, it is not a very visually interesting movie. I think the concept that, or the point it's trying to make is very interesting to me, but it isn't accomplished very well. Like, I'm going to put this movie as, so usually I say 50% and above is, if you have the opportunity to watch it, it'll be fine. I'm going to put it at a 49%, mm-hmm. because I think if you get interested enough to watch it, do it. It's got something somewhat interesting to say, but doesn't say it effectively enough. But yeah, a 49%, I think, is where I'm at.
I think I totally get what you mean by that, where you are kind of putting it in whoever's listening to this, of like their hands, of like, if there's enough there, whether you see the poster or watch the trailer or something that interests you, I feel like you're going to know whether you're going to be into this type of movie. But I'm also kind of curious to see if another type of this movie comes out at some point. Like, I don't know, like putting it into, and this is just what I would like or something, but not necessarily what this movie is trying to be or what it should have been. But I don't know. The guy kind of reminded me of like Taxi Driver, fucking American Psycho, Patrick Bateman a little bit, of like, he just like, he, sure. Yeah, I don't know. He has such a, so, like, or like he's dealing with OCD or something. I don't know. I just wanted him to come confront his problems a little bit more head on, totally. Rather than just start to scratch the surface at the very end. But speaking of the very end, I know, folks, it's so hard to get to the very end of Polarized Pod. I've been your forever guest, and it's been a true pledge.
I've been your main guest.
He is the main guest. Forever on, he is Don Brandini, the main guest. And I am the forever guest. And this has been Don John. And this is also where I reveal to you fine folks what we will be talking about next ep, whenever that may be. It is going to be another sexy thriller. This one wasn't very thrilling for me, but this one hopefully will be. It is Cruel Intentions. And what I'm realizing now with Cruel Intentions is kind of the inverse of what we just did score-wise. So Don John was an 80-58, and then Cruel Intentions is a 54% by the critics and an 80% by the audience. Wow. So we're flipping it. And we're doing another sexy feech.
Flip it and reverse it.
I hope Missy Elliott shows up. I hope she does. This would be the time. When did Cruel Intentions come out?
Next week on Polarized, Missy Elliott
talks about Cruel Intentions. 1999. It is an hour and 37. How about that?
I love it.
I like to read the premise of these. So let's see what Rotten Tomatoes premise is. Annette, Reese Witherspoon, unwittingly becomes a pawn in Sebastian's, Ryan Philippe, and Catherine's, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Felipe, deliciously diabolical wager of sexual conquest when she writes an article in 17 magazine about how she intends to stay pure until she marries her boyfriend. However, Sebastian gets more than he bargained for as he attempts to woo Annette into his bed.
Can I just say that every sexual conquest that I do, it's diabolical.
Wow. I know. Could you imagine, like, oh, it's a lighthearted sexual conquest.
Yeah, no.
Every it's not time a cat. No, it's diabolical most times.
It's diabolical.
Nine times out of ten. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks. Don Brandini's sexual conquests are diabolical. Every time.
9 out of 10 times.
That's what a Don does. And what a good polarized pod does is discuss polarizing movies as long as we possibly can before we've done. We've talked about everything and we've reached that point. And we love you all. We appreciate you making it this far. If you'd like to rate your experience on the way out,
please do
leave a little review on the old Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and all that good stuff. We are pretty far in here. We have fun and we're doing the darn best we can. And we hope we'll see you next time on Cruel Intentions. Now we got to hit the old dusty road.
Bye-bye.
Bye.